Welcome back to Midday on WNYC. I'm Jonathan Capehart. Politics, personal identity, feminism, Islam. These are just a few of the topics that author Elif Shafak explores in her latest novel, Three Daughters of Eve. The protagonist is Peri, a 35-year-old wealthy modern Muslim Turkish woman. Her world is shaken when she's robbed on her way to a dinner party, nearly losing a prized Polaroid from her college years at Oxford University. There, under the direction of the charismatic and controversial Professor Azur, Peri found herself questioning her identity, religion, and even the existence of God. And after the robbery, Peri is forced to confront how her time at Oxford ended. Elif Shafak is an award-winning Turkish novelist of 15 books, 10 of which are novels. Three Daughters of Eve is published by Bloomsbury. And Elif Shafak, welcome.
Thank you.
So your book is a great mix of your educational and professional background. Can you tell us about the degrees you hold?
I was graduated from international relations, and then I did I have a master's degree in women's studies, gender and women's studies, which was very new in Turkey back then, and then the PhD is in political philosophy. I have stayed in academia for long years, teaching in different universities in Turkey, in the UK, and also in the US.
Oh, well, I would ask you the differences between those three places, but let's keep focused on the book. How did your background influence this novel, your education and professional background?
Yeah, I am primarily a storyteller. I'm someone who is interested in stories, but also silences, the things we can't talk about, the things we exclude, taboos, political, sexual taboos. So I guess in all my books, there's an attempt to give more voice to the voiceless, to people who have been pushed to the periphery or marginalized. We usually talk about the sons of Adam. Where were the daughters of Eve? You know, even the title of the book is an attempt to give more voice to that silence. But basically in this novel, there are three girls. They all attend Oxford University. They come from Muslim backgrounds, but their relationship with their identity, with their gender, with their backgrounds completely different. So there's Shirin, who is the child of British Iranian parents who have been exiled and who had to run away from fanaticism, Islamism. And Shirin in general is very critical of all religions, but in particular of Islam because of the lack of gender equality. There's Mona, who is Egyptian-American. She's a practicing Muslim. She's a faithful person. And she complains about Islamophobia because this is something she experiences quite often. And then there's Peri, the Turkish girl, who has lots of questions about everything and anything. And jokingly, they call themselves the sinner, the believer, and the confused. I believe the book focuses on the confused, the journey of the confused, and also the confusions of our times.
You know, I'd anticipated the question I was going to ask you about Shirin, the sinner, Mona, the believer, and Peri, the confused, which, thank you. You encapsulated that, and that helps move into these several instances where Peri, the protagonist, Peri, the confused, is stuck between two binaries, the first of which is her parents. How do her parents differ from one another?
Yes, I think the fragmentation, the polarization that Peri experiences in her own family is in a way a reflection of the polarization that's going on in Turkey, in my motherland. We are a very divided country, very polarized and bitterly politicized. In the book, in Peri's family, the father is a man who believes in enlightenment. He believes in culture, education, the education of his daughter. He supports, even though he doesn't have much money. And he's a very depressed Democrat because he sees the changes in the region and in the country. On the other hand, the mother is quite religious, and she becomes increasingly religious throughout the story. And her notion of religion is based on fear. And Peri, growing up, she's constantly sees this tension. At some point, she says, it is very hard to be the child of parents who have never loved each other.
How, you know, as I was thinking about this, how is it that the father, Mansur, and the mother, Selma, one, she's devout, he is not terribly religious at all. How is it that the two of them came together?
Yes.
And how does that and how does their conflict manifest itself in Peri? Is that why she's so confused?
This is one of the reasons why she is so confused. But I have seen families like that in Turkey. And maybe one of the things I should tell...
So she's she is a reflection of Turkey itself.
She is in many ways. And maybe I should tell this to you. In so many ways, this book was very close to the bone in the sense that so much of what I have personally seen, witnessed, observed in Turkey in recent times somehow seeped into the book. As you know, there's a long supper scene in the book, and maybe the story takes across this supper scene, which is very colorful, with starters, the main course, the dessert, and with flashbacks, we travel to Oxford. But at some point, I want to name the book The Last Supper of the Turkish Bourgeoisie. There's this sense of things are ending, things are coming to an end, something is changing. And this was a year 2016, 15, 17, lots of things happened in Turkey, and this is an already quite complicated country. I wanted to reflect how people responded to the complexities and the confusions in their own culture.
Well, that's interesting because you've written that Turkey is a society of collective amnesia.
Right.
What do you mean by that? I think I know what you mean, but explain that.
Yes, we are a society of collective amnesia. Our entire relationship with the past is broken. It's full of ruptures. So that is why writing about Oxford, a place where there is a sense of continuity, and then comparing it with Istanbul, a place where there's no sense of continuity, was quite important to me. Just to give you one example, in Oxford, when you walk into the Bodleian Library, there's a big sign on the wall that shows the names of the patrons who have supported the library throughout the centuries, and it goes all the way back in centuries. Now, those centuries were not easy ones in British history. Lots of things happened, but the support for culture was continuous. What I'm saying is, if we had such a library in Istanbul, it would probably be a shopping mall today. It would be razed down and turned into something else. So there are lots of gaps and ruptures that trouble me as a writer, as someone who believes in culture and literature.
And those gaps and ruptures make it possible for people to simply start anew, forget about what happened in the past.
Yes, of course. I think it is important for a society to be focus on the present and the future, but memory is a responsibility, not in order to be stuck in the past, but hopefully to learn from the mistakes of the past and hopefully never to repeat those mistakes again. So in a society of collective amnesia, I think it's a writer's job to remember things, and memory is a responsibility in that regard.
Well, that's interesting because memory and or forgetting or not talking about things is something that is central to Peri's character.
Yeah.
Talk about the baby in the mist, which always seems to appear when she's in a time of crisis. Who or what is this baby in the mist?
The baby in the mist is a more surreal element in the book. And maybe in all of my books, there's that side, a more spiritual or surreal side, if you will, or irrational side that perhaps goes all the way back to my own childhood, my own grandmother. I was raised by my mother and my grandmother, and my grandmother was a bit like that. You know, her house was full of irrationality, magic, and she, this is a woman who would melt lead in order to ward off the evil eye, and her entire universe was full of stories, oral stories, things that someone might call very irrational, but that left an impact on me, and there's a part of me that wants to bridge written culture and oral culture.
And maybe bridge old with new?
Old with new, but also east and west as well.
Yes.
I'm someone who believes in bridges, yeah.
So I've mentioned him in the introduction, can't get out of here without talking about Professor Azur. Who is he? What made him so controversial, and why is he so central to this entire story?
Yes, sometimes they ask me, which one of these three girls are you? And I always say, I like to hide inside my male characters, in fact, you know. And maybe there's a part of me that likes to hide inside Professor Azur's character as well. That said, he's a very flawed character in the book. He is a professor who teaches a seminar on God in Oxford. And it's quite controversial what he's doing, because he wants to bring together students from completely different backgrounds and see if they can challenge each other, if they can talk to each other, and if they can talk about God in a completely non-religious way. Is this possible? So it's in a way an experiment for him, an intellectual mm-hmm. experiment that goes very, very badly in the end.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, and I'm speaking with Elif Shafak about her 15th book, 10th novel, Three Daughters of Eve. So I found it interesting that you said that you sometimes you hide yourself in your male characters, even though the book is called Three Daughters of Eve. What part of you is hidden in Professor Azur?
I think what I like best is multiplicity, diversity, cosmopolitanism. These are values that I care about dearly. And I believe we each have multiple selves inside, multiple voices. But in our public, in our daily lives, we tend to pick one of these many selves and present that as our identity. Whereas inside, there's an orchestra of many different voices. When you write fiction, when you create art, you can be multiple and you can bring out all those voices to the surface. So that kind of fluidity, you know, I see life as water, made of water. Personality is made of water. I like to dig into different sides of maybe my own personality as well. But that said, I need to tell you, I don't see literature as necessarily autobiographical. For me, writing fiction is not necessarily about telling my story to the world. Just the opposite. I like not being myself and connecting with other people, with other stories, connecting with the other. So much so that there is no other anymore. This is how I started writing. I started writing at a relatively early age. I was around 8, not because I wanted to become a writer. I didn't know such a thing was possible, but I was an only child, a very lonely child. And I thought Storyland was very beautiful and real, and my own life was very boring. So that's how you start writing. You start these journeys into Storyland. And the freedom of going beyond the boundaries of the self that was given to you by birth. I love that freedom.
That's interesting. I'm also an only child. And my mother used to tell me that I used to write these incredible short stories that she loved to read because, as she says, or said, they were very imaginative. Yeah. As you were talking about the piece of you or parts of you that are hidden in Professor Azur, I still keep coming back to Peri. Mm-hmm. How is she not similar to the you that you say is hidden in Professor Azur?
You know, when we look at these three girls, the sinner, the believer, and the confused, it is quite possible to see them as three completely different personalities. And maybe one of my desires in this book was to explore the concept of sisterhood. Like, we can come from different backgrounds as women, but can we still have sisterhood? Can there be solidarity around shared values? That said, it's also possible to see these three girls as the different stages in the same person's life. And I believe there are seasons in our lives when we are perhaps closer to the sinner, and then maybe there's another stage in our lives when we are more confused. There's a part of our life journey when we were more like a believer, but we keep changing. You know, there's an ongoing journey. So it's also possible to see the sinner, the believer, and the confused within the same person.
Within the same person. The book opens very powerfully. You write, "It was an ordinary spring day in Istanbul, a long and leaden afternoon like so many others, when she discovered with a hollowness in her stomach that she was capable of killing someone." This is Peri. For someone so confused, she seems very strong.
Yes, but confusion can be strong as well. And maybe that's one of the things that Professor Azur is trying to tell her. Confusion can be a source of richness. In fact, I think people who are very certain of the ground beneath their feet are the ones who stop asking questions and questioning, and then they slow down their journeys. Whereas people who have who are more confused and who have lots of questions to ask, they can be more open to learning and to connecting with the voices of the universe, as long as we can see confusion as a source of richness. And that is where Peri fails, because she sees it as a problem all the time.
You're going to have to read the book to understand the connection between Peri and Professor Azur and this dinner party. Elif Shafak, she is the author of her latest novel, Three Daughters of Eve. Tonight at 7, she will be appearing at Joe's Pub for their literary cabaret series. That's at 425 Lafayette Street. And you can find more information on our show page at WNYC.org. Elif Shafak, thank you very much for being here today.
My pleasure.
Coming up, Kate Cole Adams takes us deep into the history of anesthesia. This is Midday on WNYC. We'll be right back after a break.